She's referred to as a nutcase. So where by your daughter. So where do you start with this?
Where do I start with that? Well, I've been offered this sort of genre film before, but it's never been something I've been interested in. But when I read the script, if you take out the horror, this could be a standalone family drama, really. I think that's how well the characters are written. So here's this depressive mom on the brink of a breakdown. She can't connect with her kids. She doesn't have the mental or emotional capacity to do so. And I'm fortunate enough to have the gift of bipolar disease, as you all probably know about from my book last year. So I felt like that was a real gift I got to bring to the screen, to understand what that is, to be in that position of being incapacitated emotionally and mentally, not being able to connect with people or to the real world.
Wow. Okay. And when you met the director about this, this is his first feature film debut. Were you a little nervous because, you know, you may know more about making movies, having done it much more than he ever did?
Well, it's always a little nerve-wracking with the first-time director. But when I was offered the film, James Wan producing and Lawrence Gray, who are so great at what they do, I knew there was, it had to be someone who really understood the material. And then I saw his short film, which now has over 100 million hits. And the way that he lit it and how he humanized his wife, Lota, who's in that film, within 3 minutes, and how scary it was just from a very simple lights on and off, I went, oh, this guy has something. You can tell he has a passion for film. And that translated onto the set. So though he had less experience than any of us, he really surrounded himself by experienced, great people at what they do, had no ego about it, but a very strong vision about what he wanted.
Okay.
I've been told that horror is a difficult genre to pull off. It could just be cheesy on a dime. Do you agree with that sentiment? And if so, how difficult is it for you to just grasp inspiration or whatever it may be that you do in order to be able to pull it off and try to come across as believable and maybe not laughable?
Well, I think it's definitely in the writing. I don't see a lot of horror films. It's not something I love. I especially don't like the slasher sort of films. But I do enjoy thrillers. I like to explain this film as, you know, you're walking in the daytime in the forest and you hear a twig snap in the back of you and you look and you keep walking, and then you hear snap, 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 and this happens for an hour and a half till it's dark and you're running scared, petrified through the woods. So I think these can be kind of cheesy films, but I think because of the writing, there's nothing cheesy about this one.
Or the talent on screen. In this case,
yeah, thank you.
Now, how do you feel about the dark?
I am one of those odd people who loves the dark. I'm not afraid of the dark. I sleep with a pillow over my head, and I'm not afraid of the dark. If I hear something moving in my house, I run towards it.
Uh-huh. Really? One of those people, huh?
I have like this big old hunting knife at the side of my bed, and I just like pick it up and run to where it is. I don't know what the heck I would ever do if I actually found someone. And I've also always had this thing about ghosts. Since I was a kid, I've been asking ghosts to visit me. I was in this hotel in Bakersfield. The Long Island medium went there, actually. It's a true story. These two kids walk the hallways, and the housekeepers, they all say they see these two little kids. There's a handprint on the wall of this hotel, and as much as they try to wash off this handprint, it always comes back. So I stayed up for almost 2 nights doing a movie there, and it would even set my alarm to wake me up. I'd be like, come on, come to me. I really want to see you. And no one ever comes to me. So I'm asking for the ghost to visit.
You should go to the Jerome Hotel in Jerome, Arizona.
No, what's
it's
that?
It's a ghost hotel. And I actually did see something on the...
You saw
outside
something?
Outside the patio. But I was freaked out the whole night.
Really?
And I was like, it's somebody out there just trying to scare us.
Okay, I need to go.
So, Jerome Hotel.
Okay, Jerome Hotel. I'm going tomorrow.
Now, you mentioned your book. And did the director of Sandberg know about this about you, that you struggle with bipolar?
I don't think so. No, he didn't.
So did you tell him? And
You know, it's not for me. It's not a big issue. The sort of shame about it is way past talking about it in my book and really understanding what a gift it is, especially for an actor, to understand what those really high highs and those really low lows are, and to be able to use that emotion to convey something on screen, which a lot of people might not be able to do. So I'm not sure if he read my book, to be honest.
Okay.
But I know that Lawrence Gray and James and David all wanted me to play this part.
My wife also suffers from bipolar, so it's interesting to hear that you have it, and it kind of makes the role, it adds another layer to the entire role as the film. In terms of the ending for this movie, and what ultimately becomes of your character, I have to say it's one of the ballsiest endings that I've seen in a horror movie in a long time. How did you feel about that? And kind of like from a mother's standpoint.
First, I want to say thank you for sharing that. And that's part of it, too, talking about the diseases that so that other people can talk about it.
Yeah.
Because it's universal. Mental illness is universal. And to actually, like I said, if you take the horror out of this and just see this family and how... it's a family disease. It's so affected, especially when someone goes off their medication, and children trying to take care of their parents because their parents aren't capable of taking care of them. I think all of that really plays in the movie, and you understand how Teresa's character has become who she is, not being able to be intimate or vulnerable because she's terrified because she's had to take care of her mother her whole life.
I also think it's interesting that your character showed this level of control, because I know, again, with bipolar, it's all about control and kind of knowing what triggers it and being able to pull back and when to, you know, like the times where the character goes into the room and is left alone where she knows she's going too far. I think that was very interesting because my wife every once in a while will do that. She'll be like, I just need a break. I'm going to go...
Yeah.
Left alone for a little bit. So
that's really interesting, and I really tried to play that. It's great that you brought that up, with trying to be regular in front of my child, trying to be in control, trying to be normal person, and then when I'm alone, especially with Diana, you know, letting myself just completely go there. So it was a real struggle. And the end of the movie is a great surprise, I think, because you're not sure this whole time who or what Diana is. You know that she's my friend from childhood, from this mental institution, but is she a who? Is she a what? Is she something in my psychology? What is this exactly? And to see how torn I am as a parent about protecting my kids or protecting this entity, I think it's a real surprise at the end when you find out.
And she's abused. I mean, right when we see her at the beginning, she gets slugged by it. Diana is the little boy... She closes the door and she's smacked around and stuff. She doesn't really have a good relationship with Diana, does she?
You're right. It's like being in an abusive relationship and not being able to let go and terrified that this person you're with is going to, you know, hurt your kids. So staying with them so they don't hurt your kids. So I think she's really torn in that way as well.
Did you give yourself a backstory as far as Sophie's character and when did Diana came out and how long did she been around and obviously it's tormented, you know, not only herself but the kids?
I think Eric wrote such a great script, because when you see those couple of beginning scenes with Teresa and I, you get an entire backstory without showing the backstory. You get in a relationship how this has been happening for our whole lives, that this Diana woman's been around, that she's been, you know, tortured, that she's had to take care of me in the past. So I basically just took it from the script.
How is it to work with a little kid?
Oh, like Gabriel's not a little kid. Let's just say that out front. He's older than I am. He's incredibly mature and precocious and smart and a really talented actor. So we would talk about scenes, and, you know, particularly the scene when we were on the couch, stop between the scene when they were lighting things and... you know, discuss where we were at with the characters, and then the next thing you know, he'd be showing me pictures of his dog. That's the only childlike thing I got from Gabe.
Is it hard with a character like this because, you know, she's a mom and she has kids that she has to take care of, but she's so controlled by this force that certain parts of this movie you want to be angry at her because she's putting her kids in harm's way even though she doesn't see it. Is it hard to find that balance with creating a character that you want audiences to connect with, but yet you see her sort of doing these really, kind of questionable things. Is it a tight, like, sort of a hard line to walk as an actress?
Do you know, when I go into a role, specifically a role like this, when it could be, you know, the bad guy, somebody you're like, oh my God, that's the evil, horrible mom, I can't think about that. I can't think if my character is likable or not. All I can think about is how is it truthful?
Right.
How to make this character truthful? And for me, the truth comes out in loving my kids so much. And I have read these stories about parents who say they love their kids so much, they were trying to do the best, and I don't know why I left them in the car with the windows up and they died. Right? Like, so it was partially that, just staying in the moment with that, with the emotional feeling of I'm doing the best I can and I'm really out of control here.
So you mentioned...
Thank you. What is one of the greatest sacrifices in real life that you have made as a mom?
One of the biggest sacrifices in real life I've made as a mom. That's an interesting question, you know. I think that the day my son was born was the greatest and worst day of my life. The greatest because I knew I would never love someone this much and someone would never be this amazing. And the worst because I knew I could never help him to stay away from any bad things that might ever happen to him. Right? And you just want to protect this beautiful little baby. So my biggest challenge is, you know, giving kids roots and wings. My big one right now with a 15-year-old is giving him wings and not holding him too tightly and understanding that he needs to fly, but at the same time, trying not to worry so much.
Try not to worry so much.
I know.
No keys in the car just yet.
Yeah. Well, he's getting his permit soon. He drove around the other day. He drove me around. He's actually quite a good driver.
That's good. You mentioned earlier that you like thrillers. What are some of your favorite?
Well, you
or
know,
or characters who have been in one.
I never liked horror films, but I remember seeing The Exorcist when I was a kid, and her turning her head around and vomiting. Well, yeah, when I was a kid, I guess I was like 12 or something when it came out, and being so scared and really never seeing those kind of movies again. but I do like thrillers. I'm really into. I just read a book, The Girl on the Train.
Me too.
Isn't it good?
And she's such an unreliable narrator.
I know.
She keeps drinking.
I know.
You keep thinking she's going to get sober and do things.
No
spoilers. Sorry.
What a great character. When is that movie coming out, by the way?
I think October.
Yeah.
And when you hear
it's
the
really
cast,
good.
You could just pick, you know, in three great women's roles in that movie.
I know. I'm really loving that in Hollywood more and more. I'm so excited about Ghostbusters this weekend, how they're doing at the box office, I have
it's
to
doing
say.
Well,
they're doing 50, and they
yeah.
only projected 40, and, you know, I'm producing right now, and
oh, okay.
they're all about women in front of and behind the camera. We've been working in Hollywood with women in film and Sundance Institute on the Systemic Change Project. And we're dealing with the 4% of women directors. There's only 4% of women directors
really?
Directing major motion pictures. And the pay inequity in our business. And that 50% of our audience are women. And we don't have more women in front of or behind the camera. So to see movies like this that are female-driven and to know that they can be financed because our old financial method is to do international sales, and that always depends on some white guys, you know, white movie star actors. But not anymore. It's changing. So I have a wonderful project with Viola Davis and her company.
Wow.
And F.E.T. Brown, and it's a big action adventure, and that's...
Are you going to be in it?
No, I'm not in it. It's just my idea, treatment, something I've been working on for a long time. So you'll be hearing about that soon. I have another movie that I star in and I executive produce that's going to be at Toronto called The Journey is the Destination. And I'm doing quite a few other films and TV projects producing
mm-hmm.
with strong female-led characters.
So
this is
you,
a good weekend for me.
Great. So what do you look for when you say yes?
As an actor or producer?
As an actor. When you say yes to something, is it immediate when you... You know, sit down and read that script
yeah.
or whatever, or is it something you have to I don't know, strategize?
Most
talk
of them
to somebody about
most of them are pretty immediate. If I read something and it resonates with me, the character, sometimes it's not even the character, sometimes it's the story. I'm going to do a little movie this fall, which I wept when I read the script. The material was so relevant about bullying and sexuality and teenagers and playing the mother, but I decided if I executive produce, because I want to be involved in this telling the story, even though it's a small part, but then I took it on because I love the story. So I guess now in my career, I'm interested in the entirety of a story as opposed to only the acting part.
Does that mean that maybe as a producer, we might see you as a director also?
I think that's possible. People keep asking me that. Do you want to direct? I think I would start with directing TV. I'm not someone who wants to, over the long haul, spend a year and a half with a movie pre-production, post-production, you know, tiny little bits doing editing. I don't know if I'm that person, but I am certainly thinking about giving some directing a try on TV right now.
Is it Maria Bello killing the game?
What?
Maria Bello killing the game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that?
There you go.
Love it.
Done a lot of TV and movies as well. Like, what are some of the advantages of one or the other? Like, what are some things you like better about TV or movies or...
They're so intertwined right now. It's not really different. One's not different from the other so much. I'm doing a TV series right now, a David Kelly series for Amazon, with Billy Bob Thornton and William Hurt. It's called Goliath. It'll come out in the fall, I believe. And, you know, I like working quick. And in TV, we always work very quickly. And in independent feature films, like this film, you also work quick. It's only with the really big-budget Hollywood studio films that it's a little slower progress, that it takes 3 or 4 months to make a movie. And to be honest, I prefer to work more quickly.
Like when you were in Toronto, was it last year with
Prisoners?
The huge... Yeah.
2 years ago?
2 years ago. That was a bigger movie. Then.
Yeah, that
was
a bigger movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I... Listen, if it's a great part and a great cast, you can't go wrong.
Right.
I just have one complaint. Yeah. I'm still upset because they took off...
Prime Suspect. Me too. Do you know how many times I hear that? I hear that a couple of times a week from different people in the streets.
I'm
not
surprised.
Saying what happened to that show.
You never say anything's dead now. I mean, they...
Exactly.
They'll bring it back 10 years from now still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
They're taking you away.
Okay, anyway, it was lovely to see you all. I appreciate it. Okay, you take care.
See you in Toronto.
Take care. Oh, good. Yeah, see you there.